As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do please be seated. I wonder who's been following the progress of the launch of the James Webb Telescope. Anybody? A few people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Few more people. Who's heard of the Hubble Telescope? Oh, a few more people. Okay, well, the James Webb Telescope is like the Hubble Telescope, only on steroids. It's like bigger and better, and they're hoping that they'll be able to capture light that started travelling towards Earth at the beginning of creation. They're going to look back billions of years and capture light that has been travelling for that long to see what happened right back at the beginning of there. It's a fantastic bit of engineering that has taken far longer and cost far more money than anybody thought it was ever going to, and still might not work. But there is something about staring out at the stars that humanity has been doing for an awful long time to try and understand things, to try and see what's happening. And today, as we've already said, we've talked about the wise ones. The wise ones who were probably astrologers, who looked at the skies, at the stars, to try and work out what was happening in the world. There was deep-seated hunger in them to do that. And they found there something they weren't expecting, a star that they hadn't seen before, and they followed it. Now, hear me clearly. I am not saying that astrology is a good thing, or that astrology and astronomy are the same thing. So let's just get that out of the way first, okay? Just picking up that something about our eyes lifting up to the stars to try and make sense of things. And what did I say epiphany means? Thank you. Well done, you see. You've remembered it for a whole quarter of an hour. That's a good step towards learning. So I thought this morning on epiphany, we might think about how God shows us things, how God reveals things to us, and then what we do about it. What is our response to that revelation? You see, in that passage from Matthew, it seems to me that we have lots of examples of God showing people things in different ways. And the first one is God showed the wise ones a star. Now, I can identify the Big Dipper or the plough with the best of them. And if I'm on a good day, Orion's belt. That is as far as my knowledge of astronomy goes. The rest, it's just pretty. And yeah, there might be shapes there, but really, I couldn't tell. And if there was a new star, I wouldn't be able to tell you. So if God had wanted to send me a message, putting a new star in the sky would not have been very effective. But God knew where these people were looking. And God met them where they were and spoke to them in a way that they could understand. For me, that wouldn't be stars. For them, it was. Whatever it might be, because God knows each of us individually and speaks to each of us individually in places where we are looking. God speaks to us in language that we understand. And as the psalmist wrote, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of God's hands. And my suspicion is that for a lot of people, as they look at the glory of creation, as they look at stars, they do get a sense of the other, of God, of the divine. I'm sure there are scientists working on the James Webb Telescope who are wanting to find out more about God's creation. God meets us where we are. And having met them where they were, God sent them to Bethlehem. They followed the star and they came to Jerusalem, where they found a different way that God shows people. Through the wise ones, God made Jesus' presence known to the leaders of Israel, to Herod and to the priests. It seems to me that God's messages, God's revelation, can be delivered through people. You see what I mean? God told the wise ones told Herod. So maybe if we want to be hearing what God's saying, we need to be listening to those around us, listening to people about their experiences of following God. And then what happened? Well, the priests of Israel heard the news, and then they went to the next source of God's revelation. Where did they go? The scriptures. It seems to me that scriptures bring two things to revelation. Firstly, in my experience, God can speak to us into our situation directly and reveal things to us. if we want to know more of the character of God, if we want to be warned about the temptations we might fall into, if we want to discover the will of God for our lives, then the Bible is there for us. We open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us as we read God's word. That's the first way which God reveals himself to us through Scripture. And the second way is that Scripture can be used to test revelations from other sources. So, in this case, the priest looked in the Bible and said, oh, yes, that star you're following is leading you to Bethlehem. And that's what the Scripture says. It confirms, it informs the revelation that had come through the natural world and told them about the next stage of their journey. You see, it seems to me the world around us is full of things that might spark an epiphany, might give us an insight into what God's like or what we're like, looking at the stars, doing science, love in families, friendships, works of art, books, music, films, whatever it is for each of us. It is God's creation and he said it's good. So there's a load of stuff in the world which might show us something of who God is. But what do we do with that conclusion? That possible revelation, how do we know whether it is God speaking to us or whether we've just had a funny bit of cheese? That's what Scripture's there for. We bring it to Scripture to test it against Scripture. But how are we going to do that? How are folk around us going to do that if they don't know the Bible? You see, the wise ones didn't know the Bible. They had to come to the priests who opened the Scriptures for them and explained them, you need to head for Bethlehem. Now, who's heard the phrase priesthood of all believers? Yeah, some of you. It's in the Bible, just to reassure you. Priesthood of all believers. And I think that one of the things that means is that we all have a responsibility as the people of God to know our Bibles, not just with head knowledge or theoretical knowledge, but with practical application knowledge, with directional knowledge, so that we can help each other and other people on their journeys towards Jesus. We talk here at All Saints about being called to be closer to Christ. We want to come closer to Jesus. We want others to be drawn closer to Jesus. And actually, Scripture gives us the direction of travel. And so we have a responsibility for exploring the Scriptures for ourselves and then helping others to know it well. And we do that through small groups, through podcasts you listen to, through listening to sermons even occasionally, maybe. Oh, come on, that at least was worth a chortle. Thank you. Okay, so the wise ones have been met by God where they were. They've followed God's leading. They've told other people about it on the way. They've tested it against Scripture. What is the next revelation? The final revelation in this passage is, I think, the greatest revelation of all. Meeting with Jesus. The point of meeting with Jesus is always the greatest epiphany. That point there. The revelation that here is God who created us, who was rejected by us in our rebellion, but who loves us so much that he came and died on a cross and was raised to life. The Jesus who reigns now and calls us to be his friends and co-workers, preparing for his return. A point of meeting this Jesus, that is the greatest revelation of all. And many of us have experienced that first meeting with Jesus. For some, it was at the end of a long journey, as for the wise ones. But others of us, it came like a flash, all revealed in an instant. However we had that first meeting, I don't think that in that first meeting we saw all that there is in Jesus. I think that as we continue to walk with Jesus now from that first meeting, we get a deeper and deeper appreciation and revelation of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit works in our minds and in our hearts, showing us who Jesus is. And as we see Jesus, we see God. And we're drawn in. So, those are some of the ways that God is revealed. But what about our responses to an epiphany, to God's revelation? Now, what do we find in the passage about people's responses? Well, we don't discover much about Herod's response from this passage, but if you read on a bit, you'll discover that it's not very good. Homework for you. He's jealous, he's frustrated, he's angry. And in that anger, he commands his soldiers to go and kill every child under two in Bethlehem. And Jesus escapes with his family to Egypt. It's a tragic story. Well, why did Herod have this response? It doesn't say in the Bible, and we don't know. All I can do is think about why I might have similar reactions. What makes me angry? It seems to me that the revelation of the right of kingship can cause a negative reaction if someone wants to keep control. So Jesus was the rightful king of the Jews. And Herod felt threatened in his position as king, his power, his authority, his influence. You see, Jesus is the rightful king of my life. But often I don't want to acknowledge that kingship. I want to be in charge. I like being in charge. Why do you think I became a vicar? No. We shouldn't be surprised when people have a negative reaction to Christians or to the message of Christ, because at its heart, the message of Christ is Jesus is Lord. And for those of us who find that difficult to have someone else in charge, that's quite a hard message to hear. We only have to look at our own hearts to realize that at the center of a negative reaction is the conflict between the rightful claim of Jesus to being king and a rebellious clinging to control by the self. And in complete contrast to that, the wise one's response is to worship. And what gifts did they say we brought? Did we say they brought? Gold, frankincense, and? Excellent. Now, traditionally, those have been taken to symbolize Jesus' kingship, godhood, and humanness. That's a word. Kingship, godhood, and humanness. And I wonder what gifts we might bring in the new year that acknowledge these things. What response does the fact that Jesus is king call out of us? Gold, our wealth, our money, illustrating Jesus' rule and kingdom over every bit of our lives, including our wallets, our checkbooks, our credit cards, and our material needs. Christmas can be a bit rubbish for this, can't it? Browsing through gift websites for other people, I end up finding lots of things that I'd quite like, really. Usually gadgets. Actually, I don't need any of those things. Well, I quite like them. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with them, but sometimes Christmas and getting submerged and wandering around shopping malls or whatever can kind of get you thinking about stuff. Trouble is, if I start focusing on the stuff, then I stop focusing on Jesus. And Jesus knows what I need. Jesus provides it. God is our provider. And so maybe going into this new year, something that we might want to have a think about is releasing the grip on the gold and giving it to Jesus. What response does Jesus' godhood call out of us? Incense. Incense is used in worship. How do we worship this God that is shown to us? Well, John talks about worshiping in spirit and in truth. We worship in spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit and in our inmost beings, not just with our bodies and our religious actions, but in our spirits. You see, even though God is made known to us in Revelation, we only see a small part of who God is. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can worship, because the Holy Spirit allows our spirits, to experience that which our hearts can't comprehend and our words can't explain. And I am talking about sung worship here on a Sunday, but also I'm talking about our worship out in the week. This is part of our worship, but it is only part of our worship. Our lives are our worship, if they point to Jesus in spirit and truth. And truth. You see, I love the word true. I love that it has a physical element to it. We talk about a straight line being true. We talk about true musical pitch, about a true alignment where things meet. And you know what? The human senses, physical senses, are amazingly good at telling if something is in true or out of true, whether something's square or not. You see, then, for me, truth is it's to do with being transparently and obviously consistent in all the things we think, the things we say, and all the things we do. Easy. Yeah? No. But that is what we're aiming for. That's what the Holy Spirit enables in us. That the things that we say and do in the week are consistent with what we sing on a Sunday. That's what I mean by saying that our whole lives are our worship when we worship in spirit and truth, because they're consistent. What response does Jesus' humanness call out of us? Myrrh, our repentance. You see, we've talked about Jesus came to earth, came human and died so that we could be released from the consequences of our rebellion and our wrongdoing and our sin. It's because we're sinful that Jesus became human. So one of the key responses, I think, is repentance for those things. You see, myrrh is an antiseptic perfume. It's used in the preparation of bodies for burial. And part of our repentance is putting to death the old self so that we might be raised to new life in Jesus. We want new life in Jesus. We can only have new life if we put down our old one. If we put it to death, we need the myrrh. So, as we celebrate Epiphany, let's ask God to reveal more to us this year. Let's look in unexpected places. Let's listen to those around us. Let's delve into our Bibles so that we can hear more for ourselves and so that we can help others hear more and walk with Jesus. And let's walk with Jesus every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's resolve to respond to the epiphanies that God will show us, not with fear or rebellious pride, but with repentance, true and spirit-filled worship, and a wholehearted giving of all that we are and all that we have. Amen.